The connection between all three of our readings today is actually pretty strong. All three of our readings today are messages of hope in the face of despair somehow. Messages of relief when all seems lost. So here's a quick recap for those of you that may have missed it the first time. First reading. Hey God, will you save this city if there are 50 good people in it? You betcha. What about if there's 25? Fine. What about just 10? Yes. Because the slightest amount of worthiness, the tiniest evidence of goodness, will undo a multitude of sin and wrongness. Second reading, God cares about you. God cares about you even when you are as good as dead. When you had so much sin that you were basically dead on the inside, God still knew you. And he knew you even if nobody else in the world saw you as anything. And then, of course, the gospel. Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. So don't worry, have no fear. In a sense, you could say that all three of these readings are apocalyptic. They are messages of hope in a time of crisis. The gospel is a bit of a stretch. At that exact moment in the gospel story, Jesus' life wasn't particularly crisis-filled. I'm sure you will allow me to round up in that way. But still, they're still apocalyptic messages, messages of hope in times of crisis. That's what that literature seeks to accomplish. When the very fabric of the world seems to be crumbling around you, hope will reappear in a new and radical way. With that in mind, I want to share a little something from you. I call these book report homilies. And the book today is Then Sings My Soul. Oh, sorry. I've got to do this like my scripture professor, Father Brown. Then Sings My Soul. He did this every single book in class. We didn't understand why, honestly. Anyway, so this book is 150 of our most typical church tunes, you know, like Amazing Grace. But every tune has a page that explains where the song comes from and why it's important to the composer. Kind of a cool idea. Now, the song I want to draw your attention to, you probably haven't heard before. I'm not going to sing it or anything. But it's called Does Jesus Care? And the refrain is, oh, yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the nights long dreary, I know my Savior cares. So that's the tune, written in 1901, by the way. So here's the little blurb that goes along with the song. Fits of depression come over most of us. The strong are not always vigorous. The wise are not always ready. The brave, not always courageous. And the joyous are not always happy. That observation is perfectly illustrated by Reverend Frank Gareff, the Methodist minister who wrote this hymn. When he entered his ministry, one of his greatest assets was his cheerful disposition. He was dubbed the Sunshine Minister because of his radiant personality. He had a special way with children who were drawn to his simple faith and perpetual smile. But the joyous are not always happy. A series of heartbreaks shattered his spirits, and Frank found himself in the unfamiliar valley of deep depression and despondency. His gloom became as great as the bliss he had previously enjoyed. At length, he collapsed into the everlasting arms and found himself singing that old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And the truth of 1 Peter 5:7 suddenly took hold of him. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And out of that experience, Frank wrote, Does Jesus Care? With a series of commonly asked questions followed by the resounding reply, oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. When the days are weary and the nights long dreary, I know my Savior cares. That story completely changes the way you listen to the song. Because let's be honest, if any of us heard a song saying, Does Jesus care about you? You betcha he does. Jesus cares. Yay, Jesus. And if it was written by a priest or a minister who had never had any real struggles in his life, our reaction would probably be something like, whatever. What do you know? What do you know about Jesus caring about my problems? What do you know about my unanswered prayers? The thing is, we can't make that criticism with this song. Because Frank was definitely, he's been there and done that. He was up, and then he was down, and then he was up again, and then he wrote the song. And his faith and his very life were poured into that hymn. It's not a historical problem. It's not a new problem. It's a timeless problem. We're talking about the drain of hope in spite of all our efforts to the contrary. And we need to tell each other these sorts of stories because everyone needs an occasional boost of new hope. So, consider something for me, please. I want you to consider what hope feels like. Now consider what dying hope feels like. They're not terribly similar, are they? And it's not like comparing love and hatred. It's more like love and apathy. Because the thing is, despair comes on slow. It's generally not a quick thing. It chips away at your mind, day by day, week by week, month by month. If you let it, it almost burrows into your soul. Hope is not like that. Hope generally is pretty darn quick. It's a blinding flash of light, and you will stumble backward in surprise if it catches you off guard, which it often does. So, I'd like to leave you with an illustration that you can easily remember. Imagine that you're stuck in a small room with someone smoking cigarettes. I love the groan that I just heard. Okay, so you're in a room trapped with a person smoking cigarettes, and there's one window that lets the sunlight in. Despair is the film of cigarette smoke that builds up on the window. Chances are you're not going to notice any difference after one day in that room. You will notice a difference, maybe a month or two in, when the light isn't coming through the window as well because of the grime that has built up over time. That's what despair is like. And in that example, hope is not a light fog that comes in and cleans the window a little bit each day. No, that's not what hope is. Hope is a bottle of industrial strength Windex. And assuming you didn't buy a knockoff brand, you know, false hope, assuming it's the genuine article, you will clean the gunk off of that window in a matter of minutes. In a way, that's what that song is about today. It is about the gradual encroachment of despair over time and the immediate relief of new hope. And in their own ways, all three of our readings today are saying a message that's kind of similar to that. A message of new hope when you need it the most. And that's the kind of hope that comes from God and God alone.